The following audio is from Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Visit fbchurch.org/sermons for more.
These beautiful ladies are going to talk to us about authentic summertime. We wanted to do this topic right before summer because if you're like me, maybe you're a little scared of having your preschooler home from school. I'm terrified. And so we have these very wise women here to answer some questions and talk about how they manage summertime, why routine is important, so that you don't feel like your summer just slips away and you don't know where it went, and so it can be organized and quality time. So today we have Vicki Gruey up here, and she has 4 grown boys. She's been a part of MOPS, or Mom Life, for over 30 years. We have Stacy, and she has 5 kids, and they're all from the ages of first grade up through teenager, so she has a lot of wisdom to share with us. And then we have Lynn, who has 3 kids, and they're adults as well. And so, and she has in the past taught the parenting class here, and she's been a part of Mom Life too. So welcome, and thank you for being here. We're just going to jump right in. Get my questions up. So the first question, what are preschool developmental stages a mom would want to keep in mind when planning summer schedules and activities?
I guess I'm going to go first. My age that I'm dealing with is 0 to 1. Stacy's is 2 to 3, and Vicki is 4 to 5. So with your newborns up to 1 year or thereabouts, my encouragement would be to think about yourself, if you're nursing your baby, and your schedule in terms of taking care of yourself, hydrating, and that's kind of the stage you're in, is not getting too active and too crazy with your schedule. So there's a lot of forethought, I think, with you're dealing with a baby, all those new things that you want to establish, sleep-wake cycles, and the importance of that, not overstimulating your baby, and working on those first things with metabolism, stabilizing, and even planning days in to just stay home if you do have a day out of, whether it's errands or you have older children and you have activities, being cautious about that. I haven't really talked to these two about the stages, so I'll see what they say if I need to add.
So 2 to 3 year olds, I love all babies and all children in all ages, but I love 2 to 3 and just how they're beginning to just awaken to the world around them more and want to get out and explore. But again, it's not a huge leap from what Lynn was saying, both as a mom and with children, that there still needs to be time of rest. And if you, even if you have a 2 or 3 year old, you may have an infant as well. And rest for yourself if you're not getting full nights of sleep yet. And rest for the 2 to 3 year old. They are becoming busy, and sometimes they can stay busy unless we set a schedule for them. And another question that will be is kind of a schedule. And so it's good to think ahead about what works best for your kiddo when they're at that age, what their best time to get out is. And again, keeping a nap or a rest time, sometimes when they're 3, they start to grow out of it, but trying to instill at least a quiet time during the afternoon so that they can just have relaxing time, because they can just go, and then what do? Meltdown. And so thinking ahead about preventing those, so that, you know, just spending a little bit of time outside or going. And again, I would echo the days in are great for families, mom and kids, just to be able to recover. I have a 9-year-old at home. This morning we had 2 busy days on Monday and Tuesday, and this morning he's not feeling good, and I have a feeling it was because we were just really busy. And so even as they get older, the weather, the warm weather, drinking water for them. But overall, I would say that that developmental stage is that they are wanting to explore their world. And so I'll talk more about kind of what that looks like with activities that you can do with them.
So they're the nice moms. Everybody take a rest, right? Well, I'm the mom who'll say, good luck with that. Having had four boys and two of them since 7 months apart, I know that sometimes there isn't rest, but they're right. Small children need periods of rest during the day. Since they talked about the rest part, what I'll focus on is maybe a little bit of those developmental stages, things that you need to be doing with them. And Lynn's right. When you're right out of the chute with that new baby, you need to get rest. My doctor told me at one point when I had three at home and I had my fourth one, Joe, and I was having trouble nursing, he said, you know, being a mom is kind of like being a cow. You need to lay around and chew your cud a little bit and get a little rest and a lot of water if you want to produce milk. And I was having a little bit of a hard time doing that with three older ones that I needed to make sure stayed alive. So rest is a challenge, but you ask God to give it to you wherever you can. As far as developmental stages, I'd say especially once they hit about 4 to 6 months and on up, the aspect that was maybe almost overwhelming to me as a mom was to know that statistically, between the ages of 0 and 6, a child learns 80% of what they need for life. And that was really a kind of a daunting thing to think about, because for small children, they're learning all the time. And there's so many things that are incorporated in that, where especially I'd say that 4 month stage, but they do need you to think about how you're going to stimulate them a little bit for learning. And that's different at each stage, but you know, those small children need to learn to crawl. That was one thing I learned. I had one who skipped crawling, and at that time I was so overwhelmed I didn't know how important crawling was. And crawling actually helps you develop some of your language skills within the brain. And I thought it was just great that we skipped crawling, but then I had to go back and teach him how to crawl once I figured that out. And we did a lot of army crawling and things around. So it is good to kind of research physically what they need, because small children need large muscle activity so that they can then sit and do the fine motor skill things that you have for them to do. And I would really encourage you, do that sitting in small increments. As moms, we want them to sit and be still, right? There's a reason they have recess at school. Part of that is you can only sit and let your brain take in so much, and then you need to move around. So especially once you get up to that 4 and 5 year old, which was what I was assigned, just remember, I'd say 30 minutes max for sitting doing fine motor skill things, which you need to do, and you do need to teach them to sit and stay in a chair for periods of time. But they also, you need to know that after about 30 minutes, their brain is crawling. They are wanting to get outside of themselves and move around. And especially if you have boys, you need to be thinking, how can I give them a little break? And maybe just let them run around the house now that it's outside, now that it's nice, and say, come back in. Now we're going to do whatever it is. But every minute for them is learning. So think about that. For you as adult who's out of that stage, you may not feel that tremendous pressure, but inside their little brain, every minute they are learning something, taking in something, see it. And so they do need little rests and breaks. They need free play. It's very important, and it develops use of the mind where you're not directing them, but they also need directed play with a learning and objective in mind. So you need to kind of balance that. I'll stop there.
Okay. Do boys and girls need different kinds of activities?
I was just going to piggyback off of what Vicki said in terms of screen and technology, that there is research to show that under 2 years, it's very negative. So just thinking about that, the computer, TV, anything with technology is not healthy for them because they are developing so quickly, rapidly with the brain, and those things can be negative. So, and in terms of my age that I'm doing, no difference between boys and girls. Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah. Well, I would say for sure with your boys, we always taught our boys to open the door for me and their sister. Definitely taught her that she needed to give way to that and be okay with that and not fight that. And be encouraged by it, that that was God's intent for boys. We always encourage the boys as well that their job in life is to protect all women because God made them the stronger of the two, the protector, provider. And it doesn't matter if it's your wife or not. You should always have an eye to be protective of women. And with Micah, we always taught her that she should be okay with relinquishing her will and being okay with that protection, coming under her dad's protection and her brother's. And to this day, she loves that and desires to be married. Not that that's an issue or not, but yeah, I think that it's important to show them those roles in yourself, being able to come alongside your husband and be helpful, keeping your house in order so that when your husband does get home, it's not out of control. That's being a helpmate, being helpful to him, being an encouragement to him, you know, working on discipline, working on training, working on those things so that when he gets home, he can just pick up where you leave off, and roles as well.
So I was thinking more like that along the lines of 2 and 3 year olds, but, so I'll talk to that a little bit and then just some of the things I've learned as they got older too. But 2 and 3 year olds, I would say yes and no. I mean, a lot of the things that they do at 2 and 3 are very similar, but boys definitely, I have 4 boys and 1 girl, and they're definitely, for the most part, I mean, there are some loud, busy girls, but my boys are definitely loud and busy and more so than my daughter was, where my daughter would, you know, quietly go to her room and play with paper and dolls. And my boys are running around the house with Nerf guns and swords, rawr, you know, and the noise level. Even when they were young, my oldest, I thought it was important to be nonviolent, and we had no guns. And my friends, you know, if we had squirt guns, they were, water machines. And my son at 3 year old, my oldest, bit his grilled cheese sandwich into a gun and would shoot his sister across the table. Pew, pew, you know, no, you don't shoot your sister. But I mean, that's the difference I saw in boys and girls growing up. And so, so being just having your eyes open to that and seeing how to feed into that, when they play cars, they like to crash their cars. And so giving them an opportunity to do that in a safe place that you're not worried about anything getting ruined, and letting them know where right places to do things are. And no, we don't do that in the living room, but yes, we can make a place for that outside or whatever is okay with your family, giving them opportunity to be loud so that they have an outlet for that. And girls, giving them an opportunity to be sweet. And both boys and girls, actually, you know, one of the activities that I might mention again, because I think we're going to talk about just specific activities that are good, is I brought a wash tub because that's one of my favorite tools, is to fill it with water and let them fill it with toys to wash. And so I did for both boys and girls, they'd wash baby dolls because I thought, you know, boys can take care of babies. They need to learn to be nurturing too. But they would also wash their trucks and their cars and things like that. And it was much different play. And then the girls, you know, when they would wash their baby dolls, it was a lot longer play, and they'd wrap them up and put them in a stroller and take care of them all day. So you definitely see those things and just have your eyes open for them. Learning as they got older and kind of what Lynn was saying, teaching them. My oldest was I had sisters, and so boys were just like, whoa, I was just hit like a windstorm, like, what do I do? And he loved to roar, and when we'd go to a park, he would roar at everyone, and I'd often have moms come up and say, you know, can your son not roar at my children? He's scaring them. Oh my gosh. And so then when my next son came along, I thought, oh, what am I going to do? And so when we go to playgrounds, I'd say, oh, look at all the princesses. We're talking about the girls. I'd say, oh, you need to protect those princesses on the playground. Can you do that? And he was like, yeah. And so that helped to channel that need for roaring and power to something good. And so, yeah, just thinking like that, being creative. How can I take what God has given them and channel it for good and not just be frustrated about it, but what is a good positive outlet for that?
Piggybacking off of what Stacy said, it was wonderful when Micah got to that age, and even very, very young, and she'd wear dresses, and the boys didn't wear dresses, of course, and so they would look at her as so special because she was so different than them. And the way she played, she was quieter. And so we encouraged those things. You know, her aunt would always send her Easter dress. And so that was a big deal to see her Easter dress. So those things were encouraged, yeah.
Sorry, Vicki, made me think of one thing, and now I think I'm going to forget. I remember
it. You'll remember it after I get done here. Contrary to what our culture is telling you, God made boys different than girls. He made them physically differently. He made them hormonally different. And he made them emotionally different. And I know our culture is trying to cut through that and make everyone the same. But God knew what he was doing, and he has a purpose and a plan within that. And I would just encourage you to keep that in mind when the culture is being thrown at you, that men and women are the same. Yes, men and women have many equal things, but they are not equal in their emotions. They are not equal in their hormones. They're different, and God did that for a purpose and a reason. It allows a man to be a provider and the woman to be a nurturer. And you see that with cars, having four boys. We didn't have to teach them. They knew how to make car noises without us even teaching them how to do that. They loved crashing the cars. If a little girl came over to our house, she was like, no, don't crash my car. You'll hurt my car. You know, that you see that nurturing side come out. She didn't want to crash the car. She wanted her car to stay really in its nice little sweet spot. So there is a difference. You see it. You can try to change it, but with inside of it, what you would be doing is not allowing them to be who God created them to be. And I would really encourage you in this culture swimming pool that we have with this right now to enjoy the fact that girls are different. Now, I do have to say, raising four boys, I did covet a little bit my friends who had girls. They would tell me about the tea parties they had. They would tell me about the dress-up bins that they had. And they had little tutus in them and things. Ours had, you know, capes, work clothes and things like that, helmets. But they are different, and it's a good thing.
I know what I was going to say is just about boys and girls and clothing. And at 2 and 3, I don't think it's too young to start, like, it reminded me, because you're talking about the playground and stuff, and that's what I was thinking of, is, you know, they have their summer dresses on, and they want to go, and we would always make sure that my daughter had on, you know, leggings or something under, and even, like, with swimsuits and things. We started at a young age talking about modesty and making sure that she understood that her body was special, and that it... she needed to think about how to cover it well, you know, for various different whatever we were going to do. And so just creating that awareness. And even though, you know, she was just 2 and you think, oh, you know, it's no harm. It's easier to kind of to create a pattern that you don't all of a sudden have to change rather than go, oh, I know we've let you run around the backyard naked for the last 4 years, but now you need to wear clothes, you know, to just think about that and think about how you can just foster that sense of modesty and what's appropriate.
And it's also important for boys. I've had boys in different classes when I was young that were exhibitionists, so Yeah, it is really important. When are you going to start?
Could you guys talk a little bit about why routine and structure is important for preschoolers?
Huge. Especially for the first year, sleep-wake cycles are so important. Feeding, the same time, my husband was just reading an article to me this morning about sleep and how we all need to be on a sleep cycle that is regular, because it messes with all of us. God intended us to have rest. And so that rest daily is important. We always had a built-in morning time, whether it was napping, morning and afternoon, and then maybe a cat nap later, that just transitioned into room time when they got older. So it's so important if you're out one day, like I said before, you know, to be cautious about, you know, your baby's fallen asleep in a stroller that day and didn't get great sleep, that you're practicing, you're training your baby to be able to sleep well and be put down and let them fall asleep naturally themselves, because that helps with their sleep training. For them to be able to learn to settle their body, to relax, it's definitely something they have to learn, a skill. And they don't just automatically know how to relax their body and let it fall asleep, just like we don't. I mean, if our mind's going, we won't relax. So they have to learn that as well. Also, helping your baby to learn to sleep in different places. Take your pack and play. If you're going to your friend's house and you have older children, and put them down in a room just like they would, you know, on a normal day at that normal nap time. Take your pack and play, have them sleep in their room, so they learn to be flexible. I wouldn't do that in the beginning. I would definitely wait till, you know, you've got a routine established with your babies, and do that when they're a little older, and you practice that when you're at other people's homes, so that you can be almost anywhere and your baby will learn to fall asleep in a pack and play. Again, brain development is crucial with the sleep-wake cycles, metabolism, feeding your baby at normal intervals, not just whenever. One of the things that impedes routine and scheduling is when moms think that whatever their child's doing, they'll just follow that. And that's not helpful for learning. You need to structure your day. You need to have things built into your day. We always had playpen time when our children were young, in morning and afternoon, and then it transitioned to room time, like I said before, reading time, times built in, stations built in, even for babies, you know, whether it's blanket time, playpen time as it transitions to, and those kinds of things, because without that, they'll be willy-nilly all over the house. You'll be chasing them around thinking it's cute, but then you have conflict. And you're wondering at the end of the day, why did I have so much conflict with this child? Why? Because you don't have structure and routine built in. So it's very important to have that built in.
And I would say that getting as they get older too, and so I'll step out of the 2 to 3 year old box for a minute and realize I do that with my boys. When the weather starts getting nice, I think, oh, it's great, we'll just have a free day, you just do whatever you want. And it just never ends well. Like, they just pull everything out of the garage or decide they're going to build something. And I'm like, oh, it's like overwhelming. So as they get older too, to, you know, if you have kids home for the summer from school, to think about how to structure a schedule. It can be a, you know, it doesn't have to be like every hour we're doing something, but morning block is for this, and then we have lunch, and afternoon block is for this, and after dinner we do this, and so they have predictability. And so going back to 2 to 3 year olds and the preschoolers, that they definitely still need that too, and that they're, like I was talking about, they are, their eyes are just open to the world, and they're taking so much in. And they need downtime to process that and to kind of assimilate that into their world and think about that. And so sometimes it's hard. One of my biggest struggles with, you know, was meeting for play dates and at a park. And it's so fun. And I enjoyed the conversation with mom so much that I'd push and I'd push and I'd be like, oh, well, we can go home at 2. It's okay, you know. But it just, yeah, it just never ended well. People were melting down, and then it was past nap time. And so for myself, to just stay disciplined and know what works best for our family and to work backwards. So not only the routine for them, but a routine for me. So I'm not trying to deal with crying kids at 4 o'clock and making dinner, and my husband's walking in the door at 5, and it just feels like everything's a mess. That it was like, okay, if I need to start dinner at 4, that means, you know, I have to have him down for naps at 1. That means, yeah, okay, well, maybe we could do lunch at the park, but sometimes I knew they didn't eat lunch very good at the park. So it's like, okay, we have to be home at 12. They have to eat lunch. They have to have quiet time. I need to start dinner at 4. And then our day, it just felt so much more peaceful and better. And I know it was peaceful for my kids when I stuck to that schedule, and they were happier. And it made me feel good, you know, when they could go to bed at night and it wasn't a big struggle and a fight. So 2 to 3 year olds definitely need, they, like Vicki was saying, they need stimulus. They need things for you to do, but often it's out there going for a walk. And just going slow enough that they can look at things and point to things, and you can talk to them about things and talk about why the tree's blooming now, or what color the flowers are, or why the ants are in a line. And so think about what a good time for them to do that slowly, or their energy levels. So usually that's morning time, always seemed to work for me, my family, and then to come back home. And that was also a good time to have play dates, but again, not back-to-back days. That seemed to just be too much. And then, you know, you have lunch and then nap or quiet time. We try to do quiet reading time, especially in the summer with my older boys, because like I said, they go out and they just play so hard, and I have to create that block for them to rest, or they'll just run themselves and start fighting with one another. And so we have quiet reading time, where if they're not readers, they listen to audiobooks, and if they're readers, they read, and then they can get up from that and have a little bit of more play time, but it's not like the hard running play time. It might be they can get their bikes out for a little bit, and then they help with chores, both in the morning and in evenings. And I think even with 2 to 3 year olds, they helping with chores in your routine is a good thing. They can fold hand towels when you do the laundry. They can put things away, and so that they learn their days have some responsibility in them and not just play. And then to end the evenings relaxing, either with a quiet walk, like where they're in the stroller, not so much an exploratory kind of walk, but something where it's a little bit more mellow, or reading. Just reading aloud is so good to them, and is, again, just meeting the needs they need to hear language and words and cuddle time with mom and dad and new ideas. And it's so good. And so that's a great way to end the day. And then early bedtimes. And that's what I would say.
I'll let you after I'm done. We might not have time when. When I was thinking about this question, it made me think of Psalm 90:12. Teach us to number our days so we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Thing I would encourage you when it comes to schedules and routines is every family's different, every child's different, every mom's different, and you are going to have to run to God and ask Him to give you wisdom for your family. Because just as much as there will be all these little textbooks answers like, you do this, do that, there'll be the one child that doesn't work on, and you need to ask God to give you wisdom on what works for them. I had 3 who wanted to lay down and do that rest. I had 1 who needed motion. That was the only way I could get him to unwind so that he could get that sleep that he needed. So I would just encourage you to run to God for wisdom in this area. But why do you need routine? I think that's kind of what you're asking us. It provides a sense of certainty and security if you reach on it. Children need to know their boundaries, and routines actually give them a boundary. And particularly once they hit about 2 up to 6, well, maybe till they're 18 or 25, I'm not sure, they will be trying to push to see where that boundary is. And if they can push the beyond the boundary without your permission, they actually lose their security or their certainty. And so that's why it is important for you as a mom to think through what your plan is for the day. Taking in mind your little people, your husband, your home environment, what you have to work with to make it work. So it is important to kind of understand time management a little bit for their sake and for yours, because when you don't provide a routine, what happens is everything gets out of control. And as a mom, what happens is you don't like your kids anymore. Things are falling apart. And then usually by the end of the day, when your husband hits the door, you don't even like him anymore, because things have just sprung out of control. And so you do need to pray for wisdom on how to balance some of those things in there. Healthy time management helps establish healthy habits. It strengthens relationships. It is a process of teaching how to live in our society, in our culture, in a home, in relationships. It teaches self-discipline, cooperation with others, responsibility. And actually, when you have a regular routine, it helps eliminate or reduce anxiety. When a child doesn't know what the boundaries are, that and I think that's part of why we're seeing a little bit more of anxiety on the rise, is because the culture is telling us kind of let your kids do whatever they want. You know, follow your kids, make them happy, give them everything they want. But that actually can produce anxiety in your child. They need to know the boundaries. On the flip side of this, though, there's always balance. There's always praying for wisdom. Flexibility. You will have to be flexible. There will be something happen. There will be a sick child. There will be something that blows your schedule out. And how... what are you going to do with that? Because on the flip side, too much structure can produce anxiety too. Because what happens is the child feels like, I'm never able to meet mom's deadline or goal. And so you have to pray for wisdom on how to balance that and what day to make changes with that. And so I don't think it's just a totally easy answer, but it is important to figure out what works. Talk to your husband, figure out what's going to work for our family, and put some sense of security into your home with that.
Yeah, we're about out of time. Okay. So really quickly, could you guys share one of your favorite tools or activities that you implemented into your routine or schedule with your kids?
Okay, I'll start then, since I've got it. One, are we on five? Okay. I brought my bag because the steering gals, a couple of them, said, bring what you used to do with your kids. One thing that I kind of, wait, which one
are
you?
We're on six.
We're on six. Okay. Before I get to that bag, then, I'm going to address five slightly. The question was, what'll keep you from doing this? There's one word, selfishness. Your generation, mankind, people in general are all selfish. And what will keep us from routine structure, doing some of these things? When you get to summer, what's your first thought? It's summer. I get a vacation. So I just want to be the one to remind you, moms don't get vacation. You will get vacation when your kids are all raised. And then it depends upon how many grandkids you have, how much vacation you'll get. So get this little surreal idea of vacation out. But what I'm going to share with you is when I had multiple kids, so I had to have a survival bag. It used to be a plastic crate that I got at the dollar store. But now I have a Nana bag. So, things that I kept in it. Extra clothes, they're going to get dirty. Little ones, diapers and wipes. You can do a lot with wipes. You can wipe the mud off of them. You can take care of the baby. And you can get the throw up off your clothes with it. I always kept bubbles in my bag, because bubbles are great. When you go out, if any of you have a child that goes to the playground and just stands there and says, I don't have anyone to play with, and there's all these kids running around, get your bubbles out. They're friend attractors. They will bring lots of friends. And then you will be able to sit and rest. In the bottom of my bag, I have this new, at Costco, they have these plastic fold-up blankets. I don't know if anyone's seen them. Oh, I wish I would have had them when they're little, because right now you go out to a park, you want to sit on the grass, it's Spokane, it's still wet. You know, if you can spring for that or ask for it for Mother's Day or something, get one of those, but I won't get it till the bottom. However, I always kept a little extra blanket. This was a timeout blanket. Everybody else is doing what they're supposed to. You're not. Here's your blanket right over here. Books. You know, you get stranded somewhere, you're waiting for the car to get fixed, whatever. Books are a lifesaver. I tried to keep one for each different age or more in there. A book for yourself. Sometimes you actually do have the activity going well, and you might be able to sit and read for a few minutes. It'll only be 2 pages. I always used a Bible verse for my bookmark, because, and I changed it out all the time because it depended upon what was going on in life, what I needed God to remind me of. A towel. It could be a big towel, a little towel, but have you ever gone to the playground and the slide's wet? And what have you sacrificed? Your sleeve, something, their clothes, they're all wet. The towel, you can do a lot of things with a towel. I always had a little pack that had sunscreen and Band-Aids and things, and I just kept this all in the car because, you know, you get there and you don't have the Band-Aid, whatever, and you're going to have to go all the way home. You know, our sunscreen, how many times before I figured this out did my kids get burned? You know, because I'm like, well, I don't want to pack them up, but the sun came out when it wasn't supposed to, and now they're fried. This was my favorite. I kept a magnifying glass, especially with boys. You can do so much exploring with this, and you can fry ants with it too, and it's really cool. Just don't teach them how to start a fire. I always had a jar to bring a bug or something home. They thought it was going to live, but I never poked holes in the top till they got old enough to know, because I don't like bugs. And little baggies that you can bring dirt, specimens, rocks, things home in. Snacks. You got to have snacks. Make sure you have napkins and cups. And there's a real, I always put plastic spoons in it. Plastic spoons you can do a lot with. You can dig in the dirt with them. You can buy one ice cream, and if you have cups and a spoon, you can all share it. Or if you can buy one drink and you can all share it. So, and napkins. And then the other thing I have in there is Tic Tacs. I always kept Tic Tacs in there because I don't know why. When things are really bad, if you just say, everybody take a breath, sit down, we're going to have a Tic Tac, it worked. And then I always kept something in there so I could make lists. Sometimes when they're playing and I had things, and you know that little routine you're talking about, I wanted to. And here's the really cool Costco blanket that you can just carry, and it folds out really big and everybody can sit on it. So that's my idea to share. Oh, and water, because everybody needs a drink, or you can dump them on them to get the mud off before you get in the car.
That's awesome, Vicki. I want to travel with you. Because truth be told, if you show up at the park with me, you're probably going to feed my kids snacks. Because a lot of times I forget. Yes, please. So I will show you. I'm a little bit of a minimalist. But it is. Oh, and FYI, so Walmart has, I really like, they have the picnic blankets that have a plastic lining in them for $10. I don't know how much the Costco ones, and they zip up to be like a little pillow, and they're really bright and shiny, and that way no one gets wet. You can sit down no matter if the sprinklers were just on or not, because we also have a knack for showing up right after the sprinklers turn off. So for 2 to 3 year olds, again, I was thinking like super simple things that I love to do with them. This is an empty stevia bottle from Trader Joe's, but you can, any type of bottle that has this little like dropper, this is really good for their fine motor skills to pinch and drop. And then it also keeps them entertained. You just fill it with water, put some pennies out, and tell them to drop, see how many drops of water they can put on the pennies. You can fill it with colored water and get some coffee filters out and tell them, put drops on the coffee filter and watch them spread. You can take a cup of water and put some shaving cream on top with the colored water and drop it, and they watch the water go down, and it's like clouds. So this has bought me tons of sweet quiet time that I can just sit beside them and maybe run and like go to the bathroom or something real quick. And then a spray bottle, and you can decorate it real cute so they know it's not a Windex or whatnot, and say you can only use this bottle. But they love to go and spray flowers. My boys, my 7 and 9 year old, were out spraying bugs the other day because they wanted them off our porch. They spray each other. They can spray themselves when they're hot. And again, fine motor skills and getting their hands strengthened for writing. And so it's good. And the wash basin, and like I said, I would fill it up. And then a lot of times with even up to a 3 year old, this could be a bath. At the end of the afternoon, I'd plop them in it and wash them off and wash the mud off and get them inside, especially if they needed that pre-bath. Some days require a pre-bath. And so that was really good. And then books, and audiobooks. I love them in my car, again, for quiet time. And the kids are listening to them just on the park, and you can get on Audible and download them. And I just wanted to share a resource. If you haven't heard, there's a gal that has a blog called Read Aloud Revival. So if you're looking for good books to read with your kids, sometimes it's hard to find the time to go into the library and look. She gives book lists. So you can look up the book list. You can get online at home and have them placed on hold at the library. And then when you go to pick them up at the library, it takes you just a couple minutes to grab them and go, or if you want to stay. But that's readaloudrevival.com, I think is that. But if you Google it, you'll find it. So those are my things.
Wow. We probably don't have any more time.
We're pretty much out of time.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much. Let's thank our panel. That was really awesome, helpful for the summer. Now you have discussion questions, so go ahead and your DGL will get the discussion going.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Faith Bible Church. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us online at fbchurch.org for more sermons, articles, and other resources, as well as information about our ministries.